So in terms of more practical arguments, as I think many presuppositionalists do, we tend to begin with the moral argument, or at least I say the moral argument. There's no such thing, I think, as the moral argument per se. There are different versions of it, different ways of starting with some aspect of our moral knowledge or moral discourse and showing how that presupposes the existence of God. But in general, I think the moral argument is more effective because, in the first place, people care about morality. They have moral opinions. They may not be the same as my moral opinions, and often they aren't, but nonetheless, they want to make moral judgments, and often they're taken for granted that those moral judgments are objective. They're not just matters of personal preference or subjective desires or purposes, but there really is a sort of a set of objective moral norms that govern human behavior. And since most people recognize that, then that gives you a foothold for making the argument that you need a theistic universe, you need a theistic worldview in order to really account for objective moral norms and objective moral duties in particular. And there are different ways of cashing out the argument. And I think a lot of people intuitively recognize that if there is a God, then that very easily explains why there would be objective norms of morality, why certain things would be right and certain things are wrong, because God would have created us, he would have had a plan for us, he would have had intentions. God's act of creation itself seems to establish that there are some norms. There's a way for us to live and a way for us not to live. And also, once you sort of conjure up in your mind an atheistic universe that everything just reduces to material particles, whether that's, you know, whatever standard physics says is the basic material substrate or particles these days. But if it is an ultimately impersonal material universe, it's very hard to see where any kind of objective moral norms come from, what kind of authority they would have, if any. It's an impersonalist worldview.
Right, so how can you get impersonal?
Right.
Personal out of the impersonal, right, is the
right
idea there, yeah.
It combines the software with the hardware. It gives you the moral basis for the meat shields that we are.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, a lot of people can see quite easily that moral injunctions or moral norms need some sort of personal grounding, okay? A person can issue commands. You have duties to other people, but you don't have duties to an impersonal universe. So in my experience, people with no philosophical background or training can see that point, can appreciate that point fairly quickly. And so it tends to be a more accessible argument. That doesn't mean that it's easy to make that argument, or that there aren't various objections that you need to be able to field if you're making that argument. But often then that moral argument can be used as a launch pad for a more transcendental form of argument, in that once you recognize that moral norms depend on the existence of God, it's not such a jump to see that rational norms or intellectual norms depend on the existence of God as well. In other words, if morality is about the right way to behave, that there's a right way to behave and a wrong way to behave, rationality is about thought, norms of thought. There's a right way to think, a wrong way to think, a right way to draw conclusions, and a wrong way to draw conclusions. And so there's actually a parallel, I think, between certain versions of the moral argument and what would more properly be regarded as a transcendental argument from rational norms.
Yeah. Okay. One more before, because I know Patrick wants to jump in and start talking to you about the book.
I don't mind talking about TAG. I will say, I'll include, you did some great work with Eli Alas on revealed apologetics that I'll include in the links as well for more discussion on TAG too.
Yeah.